This time I'm going to welcome Sister Jennifer Cobb to our platform. Amen. Please receive her with an amen, giving God the glory. Hallelujah, Sister Cobb.
Thank you so very much. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. It is so good to be here this afternoon in Wisconsin in your wonderful church. I do love the windows. Your pastor's name, the Brownie name, is very famous. I grew up in England, and Pastor Brownie, which is your pastor's father, was one of the founding members of the apostolic movement in England. And I want to thank Pastor Brownie for having me this afternoon. And then I learned I realized Sister Brownie is also from England. And I've been to her home church too in England, yes. Sister Brownie and I and Pastor Brownie are alike in one way. We all are here in America because we have a green card. That means we are not Americans. We are transplants, but we are legally here in America. Amen, amen. I want to thank them both, Sister Brownie, for having me and sharing the ladies with me. I'm telling you, whoa, yesterday, God showed up. And I'm going to say to you, every one of you ladies, if you can go out and buy a Starbucks or a hamburger, start saving up for your prayer conference next year. You will not be disappointed. Amen. Amen. Wow. I think I'm a little bit shorter than I thought. The pulpit is a little bit higher. I might have to put it here. I think I might have to do that. Amen. Is that okay? I'm very versatile. This is like the old British pulpits. Right? I like it. I feel at home. Feel very much at home. Hallelujah. There are some ladies I recognize in the congregation. Of course, I want to thank Sister Rogers for putting the pedal to the metal to get me over here today. Thank you. Sister Rogers have become a very dear friend of mine. I love her dearly, and one of the uniqueness about her, she speaks truth. She really, one thing about, I guess, being raised in England, I'm not a big TV watcher, but when you watch some of these programs on television, the reality shows, they're always British, because they look at you, they don't care, they'll just tell you like it is. Please don't get worried. One time I went over to England, and I'm in the grocery store in Sainsbury's, and a lady that knew me a long time ago, she came up to me, and she looked at me and goes, "Oh, you're so fat." And I realized I was in England, so I was not offended. She grew up in England, and she was also Jamaican. Put those combinations together, and they're going to tell you just the truth. Jamaicans do not mince their words, and neither does the British. I was at home in Cincinnati one time, and I said, "Lord, help me. I come by, speaking honestly, I come by this really honestly. I've two cultures, Jamaica and England. I'm British." But it's good to see Sister Tanya. Of course, she's also from the islands, yes. And I know Sister Debbie's back there. She thought I do not recognize her, but she's back there. I call her Debbie. That is your name, right? Sister Deborah? Debbie? Right, okay. Well, time's going. I have to leave here and go over to Pastor Rogers' church, so I'm going to get in the Word. We are going to look at the book of Song of Solomon. I absolutely love this book. I've loved this book. I wrestled this morning, early hours, about preaching this, and the Lord confirmed it, because the key to serving God is one word, L-O-V-E. We, the church, live in a supernatural world. But as Christians, we must start operating in the supernatural world. We are in the natural world, but there are things in the supernatural that we have to. It's almost like there's a bridge, natural, supernatural. And if you've driven across bridges around the world, I've had the wonderful experience of going to about 40 countries in the world already. And there's one place I went. It's a place called Halifax, Nova Scotia. And we got on a bridge, and the bridge was 9.5 miles long across the Atlantic. I have never driven across a bridge like that. But if it was a swinging bridge, no trucks could go over it. But this bridge, the reason why it can withstand the waves in the Atlantic Ocean is because the pilings that are holding up those bridge keep it safe for trucks and cars to go over it every day. Now think of this. Think of the bridge and the pilings. You as Christians, you're in the natural world. You're on this side of the bridge. And you have to go over that bridge to hold your, it's called the bridge of faith. But so that your faith can go in God, those stone blocks that are holding up your spiritual bridge are held up by this one word, L-O-V-E. So the stronger your love is, the greater things can come across your bridge. The greater and stronger that you can bring what God has for you. You can, as it were, lasso and go into the supernatural and pull it across your bridge. That's why it's imperative. The Bible says, by this shall all men know you're my disciples. If you have one thing, love. 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 Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 2. Thank you. No, I'm going to ask you to sit. Thank you, and I'll tell you why. I greatly believe in you should stand, but I'm going to be speaking on the whole chapter today. So I don't think you want to stand with me for an hour. I want to give you a little backdrop. I didn't realize this yesterday, but there are so many people that are afraid of this book, the Song of Solomon. For you to understand it, just remember this. There is just the voice of a man. Everyone say the shepherd. And the woman, a Shulamite. Everyone say Shulamite. Okay. The man, of course, the writer is Solomon. So his name is Solomon. And the word Shulamite. Everyone say Solomon. Everyone say Shulamite. These are the two major characters, which is Solomon, as it were, the shepherd, the Shulamite. It's interesting that the word Solomon means the same as Shulamite. However, the word Solomon in the Hebrew is the masculine for the word Shulamite in the feminine gender. And here's the thing, because when we come in Christ, we're neither Greek nor Jew. We are one in Christ. So you will see as you study this book how the woman, the Shulamite, which is the church, which is the bride of Christ, is going to become one in God. The Bible says we are one in Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And this book shows an allegory of how our relationship should be. God is after intimacy. God is after intimacy, not physical intimacy. Satan is aborting your calling in God because he made you all passionate creature. But instead of being passionate for Christ, we are passionate for the body, sexual things. We are passionate creatures, but this passion should be turned to the spiritual, to Christ. When you were birthed, a lot of us, we didn't even know who our fathers was. The enemy is shortchanging all of us, because how can we come to a God which represents the male image and then trust him when my own daddy in the natural world? Satan from the birth is trying to kill some of you. You think your only desire is the flesh. But it's not your passion that God gave you. Was for him in the spiritual. Women, we are being fooled sometimes because we think we cannot make it in God unless we have a man. And I'm for marriage. But when you singles are satisfied in Christ, the word single in the Hebrew means to be whole. You got to first know that in Christ you are not half a woman. You are a whole woman in Christ. And a man can satisfy your sexual desire, but only one that can satisfy your soul. Only one can satisfy your sin-sick soul. That's the King of Kings. That's the Lord of Lords. That's my Redeemer. That's the rock in the weary land. The Bible says in Song of Solomon, the woman is, I slept, but my heart, she said, my heart, I just couldn't get it together. She said, I keep hearing a sound. She said, it is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, this is the voice of the beloved, open to me, my sister, my love, my, I got to put my glasses on, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. See, this is why people stay away from this book, because it's like, I don't understand this. Kids that are in high school, if you've ever studied Shakespeare, I grew up in a country where we speak Shakespeare. I liked Shakespeare. But just hang tight. I'm going to break it down to you. There's a woman in bed. Sleep. She had worked all day. And she said she began to dream. And she dreamt that she heard a knock on the door. And she heard the voice says, open to me, my sister. Now this is the groom. Point, just saying, I love you. You are my dove. That means you're just looking. You have eyes only for me. My undefiled. You've kept yourself pure in God. He said, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. In other words, he says, I am so in love with you. That's the language between the shepherd and the woman, the church, Christ and the church. When you come to church and you are reaching out, God is saying, do you know the Lord is saying to you? He said, before you stepped in this church this morning, I came and I walked the pews. You weren't waiting on God. God said, I waited for each one of you. Every one of you have a need. But for to get the need done, you've got to reach out to him. God, you've got to say, God, I need you. It's a relationship. Let's go to the next verse, please, really quickly. She said, the woman is speaking, I've put off my coat, and how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? You ever been in bed at night, prayer warriors, or those that love prayer, and all of a sudden you can't sleep, and you wrestle about it, and then you think, I'm too tired, I can't get up. And all of a sudden, the lover of your soul is knocking. Bring somebody to mind. Sometimes you roll out of bed, you get to your knees, and you begin to pray for somebody. They'll never know that you've been lifting up their voice to God in the midnight hours. And God is telling us, God is saying to the church today, behold, I stand at the door and knock. What door? The door of my heart. He said, he's looking. He said, when I knock, there must be a response. If you don't respond now, you will respond in the day of judgment. Verse 4. She said, this is the woman speaking, my beloved, She now refers to the shepherd as her beloved. Church, your beloved is Christ. She's saying, my beloved, put his hand by the door, the hole of the door. And she said her bowels, that didn't mean she was having a bowel movement. It said her stomach were moved. When I used to teach school, there's a student that certain days of the month, she cried, oh, Sister Cobb, I got to go to the nurse. My stomach is hurting. To you that did not know her, I realized that something different was happening. Her name was Carrie. When Carrie would come to me as a 10-year-old and said, Sister Cobb, my stomach is hurting, what she was telling me was this. Carrie's mom and dad had divorced, and her mother sometimes works out of town. And so when Carrie's mom is getting ready for a trip, Carrie begins to feel sick to her stomach. She begins to feel nervous because she really believes that her mother might not come back. So it's a picture language. I knew her as a teacher, that when she said it, I knew that it really was not a stomach ache, but psychologically that Carrie was being heartbroken. And that's why sometimes when we read people, it's not so much they have a stomach, literally a physical, it's more an emotional thing. So in her language, she was saying, when he came to the door, because I'm so in love with him, it affected my stomach because he's altogether lovely. I'm so much in love with him. So she gets up now and she's going to open the door. Watch this to the next verse, verse 5. She said, I rose up to open to my beloved. She said, my hands dropped with myrrh and my fingers with sweet smelling and myrrh upon the handles of the lock. Let me bring it over to you. When you come to church and you sit in the pew and the songs are singing and you lift your hands, what you're saying is, I'm beginning to open up myself to my beloved. It says, my hands dropped with myrrh as his presence come to you. And as you begin to respond to God, it's now you are now, his spirit is moving, and it's like his fingers is sweet with smelling myrrh. Why? Because the incense of his worship is in the holy place. That's why it's imperative. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, because when his presence come, it's like perfume. That's why the woman with the issue, the woman that the song that you all love so much, the alabaster box, you don't realize it. It's like what this woman is describing in the Song of Solomon. This young woman gets this box of ointment, picks it up and walks through the street of Jerusalem. We read it just like a once upon a time story. But to understand it, you've got to get in the culture. One woman picks up a box. This box was 1 year's wages. Now think about it. How many of you work? Put your hand up. How many of you at least earn over $30,000 a year? Okay, think about that. That you would give the whole $30,000. And yet when they ask you for tithe, you can't find a penny. See, when you truly love God, it don't matter. Because when God says give, you ask him, what do you say? You say, how much, God? See, when you truly are in love. So she picks up this box. She didn't count the cost as the scripture would have said it. She walked through the streets of Jerusalem knowing culturally, she has no business going to somebody's house that didn't invite him. See, in America, you can go knock on anybody's door. In the South, it's worse. They don't even lock their doors. You can walk in. Seriously. But it ain't like that in Israel. You just didn't do it. And furthermore, in Israel, when men are in the house, the only place a woman belongs is the kitchen. And all the Americans say what? See, we read the Bible in your culture. It's not. When I came from England, I realized, we both speak English, but our English was different. When I hear the word truck, I think lorry. When I heard the word biscuit, I thought of, when I heard the word cookies, I thought of biscuits. When you showed me your biscuits, I was shocked. Seriously. When you said French fries, I say chips. When you say potato, what is it? Potato, Doritos, what are they called? Chips. What do they? I say crisp. Oh, you mean a bag of crisp. English, very different. That's why we are reading the word and trying to put it in your American culture. It don't fit. That's why we're missing God a lot of times. This is the greatest love language, and yet Christians do not read the book. Why? Because they don't understand it. But she's saying, my beloved knocked at the door. Although I was tired, I got up. It's like going to church and said, you know what? I've had a hard day's night, and I come to church, and I just don't feel like lifting my hands. But when you're in love, you lift your hands up, because you know God is waiting, not for a performance. He's waiting for your praise. You don't understand. When praise begins to happen, you got God's attention. Why? Because my Bible tells me he dwells in the praises of his people. He lives in the praises of his people. But I'm encouraging you, don't stop at praise. Because my Bible says, like your pastor said, Jesus said to the woman of the well, we're looking. God is looking for worshipers. Worshipers. True worshipers. That shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Can I say something to you? Every country I go to, people worship God differently. When I was in Ethiopia, and they're all together like armies. But you say, and then the African Americans. And you know, it's good. The Jamaicans. Some of the Jamaicans. Yes, yes. All different. Some nationalities. The Jamaicans would say, like, they can't mush fly. But what I'm saying is, in other words, this is an eternity situation. You're just passing through. Every time a friend of mine dies, you know what I say to God? My God, your grace and mercy has kept me one more day. It's just another chance that I can worship. That I can worship. So when this book is explaining about the myrrh and the sweet smelling, they're saying praise is in the sanctuary. Praise is in the sanctuary from the heart. Why? Because my lover is at the door. She said she went up to the handle. Look what's happened in the next verse, please. She rose up. She said, I opened to my beloved. Let me say to you, if you have not praised, you have not opened up to your beloved. And you wonder why you didn't get blessed. Can I tell you something? When you go to church and see others not praising him, you turn around and said, I want that portion. I do. I said, or somebody I knew was home and couldn't be at church, give me their portion. God, they ain't here. I do. I said, give it to me. Because listen to me. If they know where God has brought you from, To whom much is given, much is required. But let me tell you, the more the devil says, shut up, say, devil, you shut up. I've got a right to praise my God. I have a right to sing his praise. I have a right to say, hallelujah, hosanna, hosanna, hosanna. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? He's in the house. He's in the house. She said, but my beloved had drawn himself away and was gone. Watch this. She said, my soul failed when he spake. Come on, you got to get this. She said, but I found him not. I called him, Jesus, but he gave me no answer. Let's go on. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I'm going to break it down to you. I've been to Israel. Late one night in the country of Israel, a group of us young people at the time, we sneaked into the main gate of the city of Jerusalem. There's still a wall around the city. We climbed up some stairs, and this is what shocked me. Their wall is not like walls in America. Their walls are like yay thick. So when you go up, it's literally enough space broader than your pew bottom that you can walk on. The reason why they built it this way, because the watchman and the keeper, there were men assigned at the wall. They would walk every night while people in the city were sleeping. Because what it was, the enemy, see, they shut all the city gates. The enemies would come up on the side of the wall to get in the city. That's the only way they could get up. So they would throw ropes or things. So the keeper of the wall, their job was to protect the people sleeping inside the city. The watchmen were men that also would walk around with lanterns. They were like policemen. The law is supposed to protect the people. Same thing in the Bible. But listen to what she said. As she walked around the city looking for her lover. See, it's like some of you praying, Jesus, Jesus, and you think he ain't hearing you. Believe me, my Bible tells me he never sleeps, he never slumbers. But there's time God says no, slow, or go. Let me say this again. Sometimes he says no, go slow, or go. It's not that he didn't hear you. Sometimes he doesn't work in our time zone sometimes. But hear me. This woman, picture it, walking around the city. She said they found her. And they began to beat her up. It said they took her veil. In the Jewish culture, when you say somebody takes your veil, she was molested. She was raped. Now I'm talking to some of you men and women. Things have happened in your life to wound you. Because the enemy knows wounded people always hurt other people. Come on, look at me. If your mom and dad treated you bad and wounded you, they too were wounded. And without the lover, without Almighty God, they cannot be healed and neither can you. You say, Sister Cobb, how do I know hurting people always hurt? Because in Genesis chapter 4, I think verse 22 to 23, it says about Lamech. He said to his two wives, oh my, he said, I've killed a man who wounded me. And he said, what I did to him in taking his life was not this balance. What he did to me did not amount to that I should kill him. Wounded people always hurt other people. Some of you have been praying and asking, why did my mother didn't show me love? Why did my dad didn't show me love? Let me ask you this. Or where was my dad? Why didn't he return love to me? Why didn't he do this? Listen to me. My father was never in my life. Wonderful man, but listen. I was in Houston, Texas, and I said, you know what, God? I was getting ready to do a conference. And I requested that the person that drives me back and forth to the church pick me up during the afternoon so I could pray alone in the sanctuary. And I walked in the sanctuary. I said, God, I've had enough of this. I know I must forgive my father, but where do I begin? It's never in my life. Never. Very, very handsome man. Indian background. Oh, he was good looking. I found out, I'm just being honest with you. At the time my mother was pregnant, two other women was pregnant by my dad. Three. And as I began to pray, the Lord asked me a question. He said to me, if you had two broken arms and two broken legs, think about it, and they're both in cast, I would be like this. Well, you know, sit. And my son Jeremy, my only son Jeremy, little boy says, Mommy, 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 go to the fridge. I need some milk, please. Could I do it?
Yeah.
Could I do it?
You try.
I can't. My feet are in cast. Could I really do it?
No, you cannot.
Why not?
Because your legs can't move.
He's right. I want to do
it. You could crawl. You can.
But when I get there, how would I pick up the milk? My fingers are swollen. Can you do it? He said, how is it that you expect your dad to do something that is so broken to help you? When I saw that, I began to see the word picture of this man. He might want it to. The Lord said, he too have been wounded. He said, the only difference between him and you is because I, your lover, has come in your life. Listen to me, man. Listen to me, man. Prisons in America are full of men because they're still crying out, I want my daddy to accept me. Your daddy don't have the ability unless he is being filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, healed by the only healer that I know. You said, but what is this longing that I feel? The longing you're feeling for a male or somebody in your life is God calling you to give you his, to give him your all to him. And then you women say, it's got to be in a husband. So you marry an imperfect man and you now want him to be God in your life. My Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. How can Adam be Christ in your life? Impossible. For by God, all things that were created in heaven and in earth, visible, invisible. He alone. Is it wrong to be married? No, I'm married. In fact, August the 6th, I would be married 31 years to a wonderful man. And I'm telling you, we have an awesome relationship. This time next week, I'll be ministering in Boston. Then from Boston, they take me to the airport to fly to Europe. But already now, Sister Rogers, my heart is missing my husband. I don't really want to go, and yet I'm going home to my mom, to my brother. My son lives in England, but my heart is with the man that I love. But you know what? Dear, I make him God in my life. Because God said to the Jewish people, get your gods out of my life. We believe in one God, but some of us has got too many gods in our lives. God is challenging us today. Get your gods out of my life. Women, some of your kids you've made God. Anytime they cry, you go and buy them everything. You can't even pay an offering to the Lord. It is not right. The only name brand your kids need is Jesus. Nike ain't gonna save them. Michael Kors ain't gonna save them. Louis Vuitton ain't saving them. It's all in the mind. And that wasn't even in my notes. I didn't have no notes. She said, they took my veil. They raped me. You've got destiny in you. And the demonic spirits from the day you were born has tried to abort your life. And we are buying into it every day. Fear comes knocking. Low self-esteem says, oh, you can't do it. Look where you're coming from. You need to tell the demon where you're going, baby. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, Christ is living in you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you get rid of fear. You get rid of pride. How can we look at the manufacturer and say, I can't do it? Does the Mercedes-Benz tell the Mercedes manufacturer, I can't do it? And here's the problem too. There's too much jealousy in the church. Listen to me. I am not threatened no longer by anybody. I'm not. Let me tell you something. When I traveled and did many, many of the large conferences, I would sit down and they would have four speakers. And dear God, if you only knew what went behind the scene. I told a minister, I don't want any part of this. The competition. Sister, I'm going to tell you something. I was in Africa and I heard them decide which interpreter was the best. So guess what? I got the worst. But I tell you what, I didn't need an interpreter because the Holy Ghost was my interpreter. Come on, what has the keeper of the wall done to each one of you? Come on, begin to look at your lives. Come on, why aren't you at the place where you should be in God? Why aren't you? Don't tell me somebody's stopping you. Come on, come on. I've never met you. But I'm going to tell you, if somebody come to hurt you, you're going to slap them because you have the ability to fight. You do. Never met you. But there is a tenacity in you. Sweetheart, let me tell you, people say, I ain't coming to church because of other people. The devil is a liar, and so is his mother-in-law. And if he's married and have kids, so is all the kids. I have a word. It is God who has made you and not you. My Bible tells me the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell. Sweetheart, Sunday night I'm going to be flying over the Atlantic Ocean. It takes us 5 hours flying over. Beautiful ocean. You can look at it. And I look at it and how do you think? I can't believe there's a God.
That's right.
I was flying to Africa one time, and I'm watching the time. I was flying to Africa one time, and I remember I flew from America to England, England to Rome, Italy. It was late that night. And now we took off from Rome to now go to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, the country. And I remember Sister Rogers, early in the morning, the pilot said, I remember this, if you will look over the right-hand side of the left-hand side, you will see the Red Sea. Sister Rogers, I will never, I had a God moment. I looked over and I said, God, it's real. It's real. When I see the Rocky Mountains that I have flown over, I have gone to Switzerland, taken things up to the top of the mountain. I've been to Paris. I've been to Malta. And I see beautiful oceans. One time I stood on the banks in Spain, Alicante. I was there in Spain and I saw the Mediterranean Sea and I began to weep. I went to Greece and I stood on Mars Hill where Paul stood. I went to Corinth and I saw the marketplace. It's ruins now, but Paul stood there. And you tell me he's not real? How great is our God? How great is his name? He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And yet, so small to live inside of you. It's not the scenery. But when you see the rainbow, when you hear the thunder and the lightning, do you realize it's the God you serve? Said, God, how could anyone look at the trees, the grass, the animals, the humanity, and don't believe there's a God? What has the enemy stolen from you? But watch this, and let's go to the next verse. She's molested. She's bleeding. Her face was probably scratched. Verse 8, please, is thank you. I charge you. Now she's walking around the room. You imagine how many times you've been hurt and you want to close the door and take depression on. She didn't go home. She began to walk. And some girls yesterday, where are the girls that helped me? Come on. Are there any ones here? Quickly. Come on. The three. Oh, man. Oh, I got to get your names. And I got to send you guys a gift from England when I get. Do you like chocolate? English chocolate is the best chocolate. You just ask your pastor. She came up to them. Picture this, broken. She says, I charge you. That word charge, I'm telling you. O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, tell him I've been raped. Is that what she said? Tell him I'm a victim. Tell him that my boyfriend left me. Tell him that my husband cheated on me. Did she say that? Tell him that they stole my house. Tell him that they lied to me at work. Tell him that when I went to the church, they badmouthed me and talked about me and gossiped about me. She said, tell him. I'm so in love with him. I am sick of love. It's not negative. It's like she was so, my God, she was so in love. She only had dove's eyes. She wanted to see. She wanted her eyes to be locked in with his. I gotta find him. But what do you mean? You're bleeding. You've been right. You don't understand. The love he has for me is greater than my pain. The love I have for him is greater than my pain. The love I have for him is greater than my you. That's why Paul says, I press towards the mark. I do the pressing. Paul says, this one thing I do, forgetting the things, the rape, the molestation. But you don't know what my husband did to me. I'm so sick of love with my love.
Glory to God.
Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. With Jesus, Come on, sing it. I'm hoarse. Come on. Fall in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Come on. It's the best thing I ever done. In his arms. In his arms. In his arms. Come on, Sister Aldra. Come on. In his arms, never disconnected. Come on, in his arms. There's no place I'd rather. Let's do it again, in his arms. Come on, in his arms. That's the arms of God. In his arms, I feel protected. In his arms, never disconnected. Connected in his arms. There's no place. Listen to this. Think about the words. We're not going to thank you. Stay right up there for me. Think about it. What is the song saying? My husband can hug my body, but there's only one that can hug my soul. It's more than a touch. It's a reality. Young ladies, it's not wrong to want a boyfriend. But if that's all you want, your future is not bright. For falling in love with Jesus. When I was in England, minding my own business, somebody met me 1 year in the United States. And they gave my husband my address. And we began to correspond. Because I made up my mind one time. See, somebody told me, the young men in St. Louis, in Cincinnati, that they wanted me to meet. You know what I told them? I've never flown into a city for a young man in my life. And I never will do it. Because I believe if God really wanted me to get married, he's able to bring my husband to me. See, when you are in soul in love with Jesus, your faith in Jesus, you're going to really believe that he's got your best interest at heart. Stay with me just 10 more minutes, and then it's not the church giving. They give me enough time. We've just got to go over to the other church. But I'm going to deliver. Let's go to the next verse. Stay up there, musician. Thank you. Let's go to the next scripture. Stay with me, daughters of Jerusalem. Then the daughters of Jerusalem said to her, what do you mean? What is your beloved more than another beloved? In other words, hey, we've been around the block. I don't know if you use that term in America. In other words, we've had some men, and we know men. So tell us. They were challenging them. They had an attitude problem, you know. What do you think? Your beloved is more than another beloved. That thou chargest. That word charge. You're telling me, commanding me, who are you? And this guy you're in love with, what makes him so different? Let's go to the next verse. Next verse, please. My beloved is white and ruddy. Now, you got to say this. You say, okay, he's white. Doesn't mean it. It's not the color of the skin. But white in the scripture speaks of holiness. He's pure. He's lovely. Ruddy, there's no fault in him. My Bible tells me that he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And let me tell you, in the Bible, one of the rules God said, when a lamb comes to me, there is no blemish. In Christ, there was no blemish. The Bible says, she said, he's the chiefest of 10,000. She said, you get one, you get 10,000 men, and baby, he'll pick them all up and zap them away. There ain't none like him. That's what she was saying. Let's go on. His head is as the most fine gold. What she's saying, see, the head speaks of dominion. As your brain is in your mind, so are you. In the Bible, there were three Hebrew boys that went in the flame. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they came out of the fire, they survived the fire in the book of Daniel. But it said, their clothes didn't smell of smoke. Their hair was not singed. And we say, what's that? In other words, the smoke did not change their thinking. You know the problem with the church? They're surviving the fire, but the trial has changed the thinking of each individual. We got victims in the church. We got, that's what the fire, you survived it, but there's a smell of smoke. Because when it says you're gone, it means that the fire changed your character for who God did not design you to be. And when you keep telling people you don't understand, the fire, literally, you survived it, but no, you're not thriving. Wow. You're not thriving because it's changed your thinking. But see, nobody could change the thinking of the beloved. His locks are bushy and black as the raven. The raven birds are strong. She was just using a word picture to describe her lover. Let's go on. His eyes are as the eyes of dove. Remember yesterday? When a dove, male dove and a female dove, they just look at each other because that they call the lovebirds. In chapter 1, chapter 2, remember the shepherd, the lover says to her, you have dove's eyes. Now she's telling you all. If you come to know him, the Christ, he never sleeps, he never slumbers. You're sleeping and he's still got his eyes on you. He said in the Bible that he will instruct you. He will guide you with his eyes. That's the problem for teenagers and 20-year-olds. They don't really have their eyes on Jesus a lot. We've got our eyes more on gossips, Facebook, and nothing's bad. Not against all of this. But if we will, how can I get my eyes focused on Jesus? Because let me tell you, you think your self-esteem is in the friends that you have. Let me tell you, that used to be my thing. I used to be in sports. I almost went to the Olympics, but God, I gave it up. The idea of sports, I wasn't against it, but it was. I thought I was God's gift to man, but I realized, no, he was a gift to me. They're telling you, he's got dove's eyes. And it says, by the rivers of water. And the Bible says that you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that bringeth its forth its fruit in its season. Its leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. Why? Because you are so grounded by the rivers of water. When the trials come, your roots are so embedded in the lover Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter what storm comes, you will survive it if you stay focused on Jesus. Let's quickly go on. His cheeks are as bed of spices. I know you guys are getting tired. You can sit down. His cheeks are as bed of spices. Thank you. As sweet flowers. Oh, I got to read this to you. His lips are like lilies dropping sweet smelling. I found this out this morning. Listen to this. Where it says his cheeks. His cheeks are as bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips, that word lips in the, what it's saying is his love for you is intoxicating. The kisses of his mouth, when they talk about that, his lips. The word in Hebrew, and I can't pronounce it, but I'm going to try. It's like nasha, which can also mean to equip or to arm for battle. So when she said his lips, and throughout the book it says his kisses, it's telling you, God, I need your kiss. God is saying that my kisses to you can help you to become equipped warriors for him. Because the word like lips and kisses means to be equipped. So when it says his lips are like lilies, it says his cheeks, it's now saying when I look at you with dove eyes. Oh, your cheeks when you smile. I remember one time I was sitting on the front pew of a church and I was worshiping and all I could hear was this little song, and I'm not a singer. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Sister, I have never had this experience before. My eyes were closed. And I literally saw in a glimpse, it was like the cheeks of somebody smiling. And I had a Jesus moment. Because the Bible says he does have emotions too. There are times you come to church and you are so weary. And he's smiling in his cheeks. But you see, we are so focus on our problems, we can't know that he's smiling and say, my sister, keep going, my daughter, for I have loved you with an everlasting love. He said in his word, therefore, with loving kindness, I will draw you to myself. His lips are like lilies. Some of you don't know flowers, but what was saying, I love orchids. Oh, you talk about the flowers. If he's the creator of them all, how much more is his sweet lips? That's why he said, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, sister. Sister, people do talk about you. There are people in the that are jealous of you. You got to take your eyes off what they are saying. You got to take your ears off and sound in what. Because you've got to keep looking unto he that has called you and to totally focus. Because, sister, if you don't, the enemy, the voices will destroy you and they will turn around and laugh at you. First lady, you don't let any criticism deter you from being all that you can be in God. The next verse. His hands are as gold rings set with the barrel. Do you remember, you might, when I was little, I remember when somebody lift up their hands to me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to duck because they're going to slap me. But see, he wants to tell you, when he reads about his hands will pick you up and carry you during the hardest of storms. That's why the songwriter said, you must hold your peace and let your lover fight your battle. His belly is as bright ivory, overlaid with sapphire. Let me tell you, when you talk about down here, it's what's birthing. It's describing there are spiritual babies inside of you, sweetheart. Let me tell you, there are people, children that you can touch in this church. It's talking about when they said to when Sarah was told she was going to have a child, she said, say what? I'm over the hill and far away. I'm too old. And there are no more Viagra going around here, Abraham. But God that we serve can take an impossible thing and make it a possibility. Verse 15. Listen to this. His legs are as pillars of marble. Let me tell you. He is the foundation of the world. I'm telling you, he can weather any storms. In Psalms 29, it says his throne literally rides on the storm. Set upon sockets of fine gold pure. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedar. We don't understand this language, but when you look at him, all you can say is he's altogether lovely. That is why in the midst and depths of pain, when Christ laid on the cross, picture this, in his legs were nails for you. And in that pain, he turned to the two helpless thieves. And when one responds and says, "Forgive me, Father," he said, "In his pain, today you shall be with me." So what the Bible is saying, if he can withstand so much pain, he understands your weaknesses. He understands your perplexity. And God is standing. The next verse. His mouth is most sweet. Yes, he is altogether. This is my beloved. So can I tell you this? When you go to prayer, you need to stop changing your praise. You need to, when you go to prayer now and you praise, you need to begin. You can begin with hallelujah. But see, the closer we get to his coming, you're going to need more than that. You got to be the Shulamite lady. And you've got to tell the demonic forces, he's my redeemer. He is my Lord of lords. He is my King of kings. He is my rock. He is my light. He is my truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the manna that came down from heaven. He is bigger than the stars. He created all the universe. He bought me back with his blood. He has pure blood. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the lover of my soul. He is the shepherd. He is the good shepherd. That's why. Oh, I need two men to come with me quickly. That's why, in closing, David said this. This is goodness. Who are you?
Tony.
No, goodness.
Good, I'm good, I'm sorry.
You are mercy. Who are you?
Mercy.
Everywhere I go, goodness, mercy, you follow me. That's why David bragged and said, "The Lord is my shepherd. Amen, amen. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God.
He, not the cigarette,
right.
Not pornography. He restoreth my soul."
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I'm going to skip. And then he said, "Yea, though I walk."
Woo.
Come on, goodness and mercy. "Through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table." Sister Rogers, we don't understand what the table looks like. I've got a book of Queen Elizabeth's table. Her table is bigger than your church this way. And I've seen the queen, when they set the table, the men literally have to have special socks. They literally climb up on the table and they set her table. And the Queen Elizabeth is standing there instructing them. I went to see the crown jewels. The punch bowl is pure gold. It's that big. Her ladle, not even the two of you could carry. And my Bible says, we ain't talking about the Queen of England.
Hallelujah.
We're talking about a God.
Thank you, Jesus.
He prepares a table.
Amen.
A table has food on it. A table has blessing on it.
Hallelujah.
In the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness, mercy. I'm going up the rough side of the mountain, but goodness and mercy. They may have raped me, but goodness and mercy. They told me I never mount to anything, but goodness and mercy. I don't think I can make it, but goodness and mercy. My God, they're pressing against me, but surely goodness and they told me I was damaged, but goodness. They told me it's not possible, but my boyfriend slapped me up, but I've come to Christ. Goodness and mercy.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The devil tells me I'm not worthy. Goodness and mercy shall follow.
Thank you, Jesus.
I can't make it. Goodness and mercy comes right along. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of. Come on, do you have a problem? Come out there right now. Do you want to be prayed for? Come out here right now. Come on, goodness and mercy is in the house because the God is your shepherd. Goodness and mercy. Come on, lift your hand up. Goodness. Oh, come on, bring your impossibility to God. Come on, open your mouth. Come on, come on. He's altogether lovely. That's the God you serve. It's all about a blood relationship. Come on, if you're filled, open your mouth, begin to speak in tongues. Come on, begin to speak another time. Come on, begin to speak in tongues. Come on. He's here right now. Come on. Come on, open your mouth. Open your mouth. Come on, let the Holy Ghost flow. Come on. That's it. Come on. Goodness is with you. For he said he will never leave you. He will not forsake you. My God. Come on, come on. You gotta believe. It's a love relationship. He's altogether lovely.